Satnam, beloved, welcome to another beautiful Thursday evening and another beautiful episode of The Master's Playground. I am your host, Chrissy Stereo. Yes. So tonight, beloveds, we are blessed. This particular evening, we have the incredible honor of welcoming Master Teacher Trainer, Krishna Kaur. Satnam.
Satnam.
Hi, Krishna.
Hello, Chrissy.
Oh, it's so beautiful to have you here tonight. It really is.
It's lovely to see you in your element.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, for it's traditional on the Master's Playground to greet every episode by tuning in. Oh, we've got a little adjustment going on. Let's see. Let's stop and acknowledge what's happening. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Jenny. Oh, very good. Are you comfortable, Krishna?
Yes, I just want to try to reach the mic here. Yeah. That's why she was adjusting the chairs a little bit. But maybe she'll bring something to
it. Should we take a moment to switch it out or anything like that?
I think they're all about the same, so...
Okay, so, all right, so diving back in, as I mentioned, at the beginning of each episode, it is traditional here on the Master's Playground to take a moment to tune in by chanting the Adi Mantra. And I was wondering if it would be okay if you could lead us this particular evening to greet the episode and greet the moment.
Sure.
Excellent. Very good.
So we join our palms together so that there's a balance between the left and the right side of the mind and the body. And from this place of balance, we honor the elders and the ancestors. We honor the Creator and all the wisdom that exists within all of us as we tap into that place of spirit and peace. Om Namo Guru Dev Namo. We'll do it three times. Let's inhale. Om Namo Gurudev Namo. Om Namo Gurudev.
Helps, doesn't it? It always. And we're back.
Yeah, we can't go anywhere without it.
Yeah. So beautiful. So this episode, you know, getting to know Krishna Kaur, you know, and all the magnificent beauty that we experience as students, simply being in your radiance, swimming in your aura, you know, taking in as much information as we can, you know, during this really beautiful period. But let's go back a little bit. Let's just go back a little bit and look at who's Krishna Kaur? You know, where is she from? What happened here? You know, like, you know, what's the history? So, you know, I did my research. I rolled up my sleeves and, you know, information age. And, so you were born in Los Angeles. under the name of Thelma Oliver. You're a Taurus. Feel free to correct me at any point as I move forward here. And you went to UCLA, studied dance, and went to UCLA, majoring in drama and theater. From what I understand, you felt a call to keep pursuing your performance career, and that led you to New York. And once there, magic, from what I understand. There was an off-Broadway performance. There was a film, a role in a film. There's a spectacular Broadway musical that ran for, I believe it was 608 performances and won 17... What would be the award? I forget the award.
Tony.
Tony Awards. Yeah. And then, so here you are. You're in your elements at the time. And getting coverage, as far as notoriety for your talent and what you were communicating on stage. Then, it really feels like everything was taking off and just going, okay, Thelma, here we go. This is what's happening. But something else was happening on the side as well. And so with that, I wanted to ask you, as everything is taking off, tell us about your turn to yoga and how Kundalini Yoga found you.
Wow. Can we turn the music down in my
headset? Yeah, one second.
Well,
Let me come over and help.
A very quick. I don't want to turn down your voice or mine. I just thought the music could go down a little bit. Okay. Wow, Chrissy, that was a pretty quick little bio there.
Yeah, I hope it wasn't too quick.
It was fine. But I would just say in answer to your question that I think the seeds were there all along.
Yeah.
And the way I related to the theater was a little bit different than a lot of the people that I was with in those days.
Sure.
It was my heart. It was my love. I thought I would always be in the theater. I thought that when I died, they put a piece of the theater in the coffin with me.
That stage.
Some of that stage would be there. I just Beautiful. Always believed that I would be there for the rest of my life. So I was as shocked as all my friends and everyone else when this shift started taking place. And it wasn't an intellectual idea. It wasn't like, okay, I think I'll start doing this now. It was something that was sort of taking over without my understanding it. So it was very confusing. I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know how to name it or how to label it. I just knew that something was shifting inside,
right,
and I couldn't explain it. But the journey started, and I think that as I look back, I realize that spirit, that God, that the universe must have known that I needed to fulfill this part of my life, the theater, before I would feel ready for this next part of my journey.
Beautiful.
And I realized that during the time that I was active in the theater, both many things on Broadway and several films and television and so forth, that I got the highest spiritual experience that I ever had in my life on stage.
Yeah.
I would just, something would happen, would take over, and I didn't understand it, but it was felt so good.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that was my life. And I never really went into it as a career to be someone that was famous and on the stage and doing all these things and very popular.
Sure.
I went into it from a place of just love of the art, love of the movement, love of dance, love of sharing my heart in such a way, And I grew up not able to really express myself very well,
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't very good at that going through high school and college and so forth. I didn't know how to say the things that I or how to respond to some of the questions or how to express the way I felt. Mm-hmm. But the theater gave me that expression. It was my mime, that silent way in which I could express a part of me that was precious to me, but I didn't understand it.
Sure.
And it gave me that space to do that.
Right.
So gradually, when the feeling started to shift inside of me, I began looking for a way to worship God.
Yeah.
You know, I'd always been a very religious kid, and then I moved away from the church.
Right.
And I started looking for some way to understand my relationship with God and how to worship God. And also was the height of the civil rights issues, too. So I was looking at how do I serve my people?
Yeah.
You know, how do I help people get rid of the pain, not just for 2 wonderful hours in the theater at night, you know, but
yeah.
forever. And I kept, those things kept gnawing on me. How do I do this? You know, I didn't know. I didn't have an answer. I didn't know what it meant.
I can relate.
But as I began to, just follow that space, as you were saying, you know, coming here, that just follow the dots and follow the shells and follow the way without too much questioning. There was a lot of questioning, of course, mm-hmm. But I got to a place where I stopped questioning and just said, okay, whatever, you know, whatever. And I yelled at God and I just said, look, you know, you got to speak louder because I can't hear you. And I don't really know what you're saying. And then I found myself having traveled throughout Europe, throughout Africa.
Yeah.
And finally got back to the U.S. And that's when I met Tri Yo, Kundalini Yoga, and Yogi Bhajan.
Yeah.
At that point, I was like an open, totally unattached to anything, just a clear slate, absolutely, totally clear slate.
Surrendered spirit as a way.
Totally.
Yeah.
Just there. And for the longest, I still didn't know why I was there, what I was supposed to be doing, but I just knew that it felt right.
Right.
And it answered those internal yearnings and longings that I held.
Sounds like you already knew to follow your intuition and your heart as your guidance system.
I figured that out, you know, a few years before because nothing else was working.
Right.
The intellect wasn't working.
No.
The decisions weren't working.
No.
Nothing was logical, you know.
Right.
Nothing made any sense. And so what else could I do except to follow that inner voice and just trust it.
Right.
And eventually it did lead me right to where I needed to be, right to the things that I needed to experience. It led me right to the heart of who I was, you know.
Right.
And I never felt like my old name was who I was. I always felt that I should be someone different.
Right.
So when my teacher named me Krishna, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, I get this, you know.
Yeah.
I get this. It means out of the darkness, that void, comes the light.
Yeah.
And I knew that I was coming out of a tunnel of something, you know.
Sure, sure.
And
yeah.
I had my eye on that pinpoint of light and just said, keep going, keep going.
That's beautiful, Krishna. I mean, it's very profound. It's, it's just amazing, amazing. So there it was, you know, you met Yogi Bhajan, became Krishna,
yes.
and began teaching, sharing the knowledge, you know, that not only you were experiencing for yourself, but, you know, helping others along the way. So I have a question for you.
Okay.
Because, you know, many of us are blessed to study with you and to get through it with your beautiful eyes upon us and, you know, your guidance. So the question I have, when you're in a classroom full of students, let's say 50 adolescents, where you are the Divine Mother, holding the space and holding it together, what is it like?
Wow, it's I feel so much love for them. It's as though I can see through their personalities, their issues, their resistances, their fears. I can see through all of that, and inside of them is this precious, powerful jewel of wonder,
yeah.
you know, that there's so much more of them than we are allowed to see often because of the social, political situations that surround them.
Yeah.
I just see that, wow, if this kid ever got a glimpse of who they really are and what their purpose is in life, we will all benefit.
Yeah.
And I think that until they've been allowed to open up that door, open up that little flower inside of them, you know,
yeah,
that song inside of them, and allow us to embrace that with them, that, you know, none of us are going to really be totally fulfilled because we're all so connected, we're all so intertwined that when one little piece over here is not well or not giving its full potential, then
right,
everything else suffers. It has to adjust to,
yeah,
to compensate.
There's a squeak, yeah.
It has to compensate. So I feel I'm excited when I sit before them. I feel blessed. I feel like it's such a pleasure and such a blessing to be able to sit before these great beings,
yeah,
that are covered with mud and stuff, you know? And to just, yeah, tickle them a little bit with some of the teachings and experiences and the breath and the sound current of mantra and the philosophy of helping them to understand just how this world makes sense just as it is, not changing anything.
Right.
I mean, I feel, to me, that's the biggest blessing for me in the world.
Right.
You know, and so I sit there humbly and grateful.
Yeah.
And full of love for them and a longing without trying to make them something, but just to share something.
Wow.
And say, okay, check this out, you know. Maybe this will give you a glimpse of who you are. Well, check this out. Well, try this and put this on, and you know,
yeah.
And I push them, you know, mm-hmm, you know, because I push you guys, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's wonderful, actually. It's great. Yeah,
I push them because I know they have the capacity. They don't know it, but I know it.
Yeah,
and I would not insult them by giving them something that's so easy that it'll be like, this is all you can do. That's all I'm going to give you. No, no, no.
I know. Yeah.
I'm giving you everything because you deserve everything. You're here for everything and you can do it. You can figure it out and you can manage it, you know?
Yeah. Wow. You always seem to move me to tears, Krishna. You really do.
Wow. Well, these guys move me to tears all the time.
Wow. So I would like to play a song that really captures the beautiful gift that is the divine, the divine relationship of mother and father and all that is. And I hope that you enjoy this. I trust you will. All right, let me pull it up. Okay, you are listening to The Master's Playground. My name is Chrissy Stereo, also known as Jyoti Paul. Enjoy this song.
Love is me.
Welcome back to the Master's Playground. My name is Chrissy Stereo, and we are honored to have our guest in the studio live in downtown LA, beloved master teacher trainer, Krishna Kaur.
Yeah. Hi, Guru. That was so beautiful.
It wasn't it?
Sukdev.
Yeah.
The Kana.
Yeah.
What a heart.
I know, right?
Yes.
Very moving. Very, I've been playing your album and this one song in succession over and over and over again. And it was just, wow, the ride. Man. So I want to have a little bit of fun with you.
Okay.
Yeah. So you live your life in service. You have a heart of service. And there's so much more, you know, than what meets the eye as well, you know, to all things that is the beautiful Krishna Kaur, you know. And so I thought it would be fun to ask you some playful questions to see what happens, what comes out, and what okay. what fascination we could, you know, embrace.
Okay.
All right.
Let's give it a shot.
Yeah. Here we go. What is your favorite childhood memory?
I think when I was, between the ages of 7 and 12, I was quite a little tomboy.
Wow.
And I had two younger brothers, and I was always the leader of the pack. And I loved when we were had sticks for guns, running down the street and in the backyard and climbing the trees and climbing over fences. You know, and I remember taking them in the house one day. We'd been playing like this for hours and hours, you know. I said, come on, man, let's go. Come on, man, you know. I took them in the house and I made this concoction. That I said would make us strong. They had to drink, they had to eat.
Oh, that's great.
So I put together Bosco and mustard and, oh, I don't know what else I put together. But anyway, that was our concoction. Every time we got tired, we'd come and take a big whopping spoonful of it.
Oh, no.
And I looked them in the eye and said, this will make you strong, you know.
They went for it. Well, did it?
Yeah, well, mind is very powerful thing, you know.
Yeah.
You plant the seed and get anything.
Right on.
At least they knew they couldn't stop playing because I was still ready to go.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. All right. Okay, so this is a little bit more of a deeper question. What is your biggest challenge? What is the biggest challenge that you have faced as a teacher?
Saying no.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I am so excited about what I do. I feel like a kid sometimes, just can't get enough of it, you know?
Yeah.
So whenever I'm asked to go anywhere or to teach anything, I can never say no. You know, I squeeze everything in, and I find that it gets a little bit exhausting as coming out of it, but in it, I'm just so present and so enjoying and so, you know, I'm just stimulated by the whole process.
Yeah.
So that, I guess that's the hardest thing is for me to say no. And so my calendar gets pretty packed.
Yeah. Who is your hero?
I'd have to say my teacher, Yogi Bhajan. Because he gave me so much of what I was looking for in those days. I call those kind of my lost days between the time I did my last theatrical performance and my first yoga class. Everything that I was looking for, I learned from him. He gave it to me. And that was his teaching. So for that, he's my hero. And not just for me, but because I was looking to find my way of serving others, serving my community and more.
Right.
He gave me the tools to do that. You know, and he always expected more of me than I expected of myself. And I thought that trust was so special. I really loved him for not caving into my self-perceived limitations.
Sure.
But just pushing me forward into the challenges and into the fear.
Yeah, it's very similar to what you do for us. You hold the space for us. You hold it, you know.
It was so wonderful, Chrissy, that I don't know how not to give that to everyone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yay.
We're a catered society here. Yeah. We like our soft, cushy stuff, you know?
And
we have ways of avoiding things.
Yeah.
And I was just reading a quote of his today. It said, challenges are not for small people. Challenges are for great people.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
And that greatness is within all of us. So.
Yeah, that's beautiful. What is the favorite thing about yourself?
Aren't these
questions fun?
Yeah, they are. Makes me think a little bit about what's the favorite thing about myself.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I would answer this, how I would have answered this 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think I love to laugh.
I
like to have fun, and I love to laugh, and I don't take myself too seriously.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that I've come to.
Yeah.
Because I was very serious for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
About everything.
Look out. Yeah.
Everything. I was so serious. I thought, lighten up, Krishna, you know.
Yeah.
Like Yogi Bhajan just says, heavens are not going to fall. You know, the heavens are not going to fall. You'll be okay. So I see that now. I see that. And I think, the heavens are not going to fall. So. Enjoy the moment, you know, whatever
beautiful,
it is.
Beautiful. Okay, so you've played a variety of roles, you know, in your performing career. If you were to ever play another role again, who would it be? What character would you be and why?
Of the roles that I've played or a new role altogether?
Like if you've ever played another role again, either whatever, you know, whether it's brand new or whatever you feel.
Well, let's see. I would play Maya Bago.
Educate me. I don't know who that is.
Maya Bago was a woman in the Sikh culture.
Uh-huh.
History, rather.
Uh-huh.
And
wow.
She was one that encouraged the men who were fighting, who were becoming afraid and depressed and didn't want to fight anymore. So they left the battlefield and went home.
Right.
And Maya Bago gathered the women together, the wives of these men, and they all said, no, you can't come home until you have finished your work, you know?
Wow.
And they said, either you go back or we'll go. And to me, that's like life.
Yeah.
You know, if we can have the courage to stand next to a friend or someone we love and say, don't give up, you know?
Yeah.
You can do this.
Yeah.
To me, that's an important message in these days, particularly because it's so hard on all of us. The challenges that we face right now and the culture and the society and our family and relationships, it's not easy.
Mm-mm.
You know? And there's so much around us that can easily distract us and encourage us to be distracted.
Right, yeah.
But to stand and face that and recognize that that's such a beautiful part of who you are, is to walk through that, that fire, you know?
Yeah.
And because she was such a powerful woman, she'd be like one of my tomboy characters,
right, you know? Yeah.
Running across the battlefield, you know, with swords waving, horse riding.
All this radiant power, look out, you know.
So I think I'd have fun with that.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Oh, here's a tenderoni moment here. What do you daydream about?
I don't really do much daydreaming.
Really?
I don't really do much daydreaming. I guess if I were to find a place where I'd like to be sometime to nurture myself, that would be by the ocean. Like you, I'm an ocean person.
Yeah, I need the water.
I like the sea. I love the salty sea. I love the waves.
The air.
I love the sand. I love the sun. It's like the healer for me.
Yeah.
And it's always been this way. So whenever I feel like I need a little healing or need a little place to unwind in the silence of my own space, the ocean is the place that calls me.
Yeah.
And I like to sit there. And I especially like it when I hear the waves crashing on the rocks, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Something about the sound of the water hitting rocks and the way that the water keeps talking as it's moving back into the sea, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's like so much magic.
It's like a conversation, you know? And I sit there and say, what? You know, what? What do you want? What are you saying, you know? Yeah. Maybe I'll laugh and maybe I'll just say, okay. And maybe I'll shed a few tears as they're touching something in my heart. But I feel that the water talks to me in a sense.
I agree, you know? Krishna. I could relate. I do a lot of my conversation with God, the divine, literally on the sand. You know, looking out, going, what? You know, those moments. Like, okay, what's happening right now? Okay, surrender. Yeah. All right, I'm surrendering.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of magic.
Yeah, ocean is powerful, and it's, in the Yoruba faith, which is a faith in Nigeria, in that part of Africa, the goddess of the ocean is Yemaya. Mm-hmm. So whenever I go to the ocean, and I always honor Yemaya, I do my own little ritual before I get in and just honor the feminine energy that's there with the ocean.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Well, I have some more questions, but before I continue that list of very interesting getting to know Krishna moments, you recently released a CD called One Creator, and it's magical. Mm-hmm. And it surprised me. You know, I didn't know what to expect. You never know with an album. You know, and like I mentioned a little earlier, it's been playing nonstop in my ears.
Oh.
You know, we're going on, the third day. It's coming up on the third day.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, it's great. It's a beautiful ride.
Okay.
So naturally, I had a very challenging time. I'm like, okay, if I was to play one song, one song from the album, and I have to tell you, I'm still a little stuck here. I'm still a little stuck, but I think, I think I'm going to go with one that's very sultry. It has a sultry feeling to it. So I invite everyone who's tuning in to enjoy "Oh My Foolish Mind."
You think about those days when you have to confront those thoughts, you know,
yeah,
and say, come on, you know,
yeah,
why are you doubting yourself? Why are you afraid? Why are you not willing to stand up and face this situation?
Yeah,
you know, don't you know that you're protected, you know, that the divine is holding you?
Yeah,
why have you, how can you forget this, you know?
Wow.
But it's easy, and it's so important, I think.
Yeah.
Which is why I really feel that our work together in the helps us to find a way to train this mind.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Especially when the concept is new to you.
Yeah.
When you didn't even know that is the flow.
You're right.
You know,
that you had that companion with you, had that support with you. You know,
the whole time.
That's right. The whole time. Just look at you. Well, what would happen if I'd known all along?
Yeah, I gotta get to work here. You know. Yeah. Truly beautiful. Your voice is just it really is a gift. It really. I mean, it just the way you carry the notes, the way that you deliver the song, it's just so incredibly rich. So thank you for putting it out there.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you. So, back to the playful questions. So tell us something that nobody knows about you.
Well, it's hard to say nobody.
Okay. I hear what you're saying.
Been around too long for nobody that knows something.
Right. All right, you know, few. A few know.
Okay, I'll tell you something that's probably a little incongruous, maybe, to my role now and how I serve. I'm a real sports fan.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I love sports.
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to, you know, be privy to this. Yeah. All kinds of sports? I mean, do you have a certain...
Well, I like basketball.
Yeah.
I like tennis.
Yeah.
I like football.
Oh, get down. All right.
if I get real desperate, I'll watch bowling.
Oh, wow. Every sport. Yeah, that's great.
Sometimes I watch poker.
Right. So the Olympics is just it for you.
Oh, the Olympics, yeah. Sure. Yes, of course, you know, all the swimming and the diving. And
right.
Gymnastics and all of that. And I think the reason I really enjoy sports is because I think it's a metaphor for life.
Right.
If you can give your personal best, and if you're with a team, then you're part of a collective.
The group consciousness.
Know, then, yeah. then, you know, you keep going so that you know that I can do better. I can do better. I can do better. And that I'm a part of a larger picture, mm-hmm. you know, and together we win.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I just love seeing people do that. I love seeing people meet those challenges and keep going for them and and developing themselves that they can reach their potential, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and go beyond their expectations or even go beyond the things that they were told that they couldn't do.
Yeah.
And would never be able to do.
Yeah.
To say, I don't know about that. I'm going to try and give it my best. To me, I think that's so inspiring and uplifting.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And to see athletes come back after injuries, like Venus Williams, you know, mm-hmm. she had this immune system disease, and she was out for a while, but she came back and she keeps fighting and fighting because she has a love and a passion, and she right. doesn't want anything to stop her from being who she is
right.
and delivering what she can deliver.
All right.
So that's why I kind of like sports.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, all right, with you and maybe a few more now. No, yeah. All right. So here's a question. You're at a podium, right? Picture it. You're at a podium. You have a microphone in front of you, and just to see all the world is listening. All of the world. What is the message that you would like to share with humanity?
Well, I guess I would start out with trusting yourself, to be yourself, and to honor yourself fearlessly. Enjoy your life with an open heart. Be ready at any moment to forgive those who are not kind to you.
Yeah.
And in that space of openness, trust, forgiveness, and joy, there's a deep stillness that sits in the heart. And that's the place where laughter comes from, where creativity comes from, a place of a realizing that somehow the divine really is present, and that everything is a part of the puzzle, a part of the dance, a part of the fabric, and to be with it peacefully, I think is a good place to go.
Beautiful. That's great. Thank you. Oh, Waheguru. Beautiful. You are tuning into the Master's Playground. My name is Chrissy Stereo, and you have been listening to a very special broadcast featuring our wonderful guest, Krishna Kaur. And it's been a very, it flies by, doesn't it, Krishna? Krishna, it just completely, we literally just sat down and here we are approaching the tail end of the show.
You have that way to just make it feel so comfortable and
easy.
And
thank you so much, Krishna. Thank you.
It's a joy to be here with you.
Oh, tenderoni. Okay, wait. All right. That's my tenderoni dance right there. Oh. Beautiful. So I do have another question for you that would give us insight into your relationship with Yogi Bhajan. Now, I heard in, you know, teacher's training, you shared a story of having the honor of rubbing his feet. Now, for those of us that are not privy to such an experience, right? right? Can you tell us about, just a little bit about, or a lot, you know, of what it meant to you? What that experience meant to you?
Well, again, these questions are so multi-leveled. It's hard to just dive into one little spot, you know?
Yeah.
First of all, it was a blessing and an honor for me to serve my teacher.
Yeah.
You know, and I think in this culture, we don't know how to do that. We don't even know how to understand that. But it's really such an honor and a blessing to be able to serve your spiritual teacher. So that was the first blessing right there.
Yeah.
But also recognizing that the feet, it's like there's something so humble about massaging the feet, you know. And so just to be able to do that humble work was beautiful. Then to realize that there's so much health benefits to massaging the feet with all the nerve endings in the feet, and to bring relief, to bring ease, to bring balance, you know, by just massaging his feet, but bring him so much relaxation.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Because as a spiritual teacher, he worked very hard.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't someone who sat around and just blessed people who came to him. He was, you know, he was out there really connecting with everyone, politicians and spiritual people, trying to help them to understand and embrace these teachings, not as something to run away from or to think is hocus pocus or whatever, but something that was scientifically and artistically designed for the human mind and body. And he had that as his mission to deliver that and to make sure that during these times when the young people are so focused on trying to understand life and are making sometimes lots of big mistakes, you know, but are still looking for some meaning in their lives. And for him to bring a technology which will help people to bring meaning in their lives is so important. So whatever I could do to help serve him personally, to make his work and his journey a little more easy for him to do, I just jumped at the opportunity, you know.
Beautiful,
And sometimes I'd have a chance to massage his back, massage his arms and shoulders, and you know, because even as a spiritual man, a man of such consciousness and devotion and commitment to his work, you know, he held a lot. He took a lot from people.
Polarity.
Of course. Yeah. Slander and resistance and negativity and doubt and all these things were thrown, but he never surrendered to that. He just kept moving forward.
Yeah.
Which was, again, another example for me. Just observe him doing his life. I said, okay, well, if he can take all this, I can certainly take what I gotta take, you know?
Yeah.
So anything that I could do to serve him in that way was a blessing and an opportunity. And
beautiful.
We had a very special, very endearing relationship.
Yeah.
You know, I was a very deeply devoted student.
Yeah. Oh, that's so magical. Beautiful. Beautiful. So with that, thank you so much for joining us, Krishna. Thank you.
Such a pleasure.
Yeah. So you know, we're at the very tail end, but I do want to highlight, you literally are someone who lives in this experience, fully conscious and with a heart of service. There's so much that you do that, I mean, it would be impossible to cover, you know, just it really would. But there are several different things, or a couple different things that I would like to, you know, highlight. Yoga for Youth. Yeah.
That's my heart. That's my heart.
Yeah.
I think serving the youth is probably the best thing I can do, because I'm serving the young mothers-to-be and fathers-to-be and children that will be born of them,
right,
and to give them tools that will help them to have a more balanced life on themselves and their relationships with others. To me, it's the best way of service.
And then, you know, with that particular organization, it's inner-city youth, correct?
Inner-city, mostly inner-city youth.
Yeah.
Youth who are incarcerated, youth who are in communities that lack resources and access to resources.
Right.
Youngsters who feel frustrated because they feel society is throwing them away.
Right.
You know they've got something special to give. They've come here at this time because they have something
special
to give. And they're taught down to. You know, they're not encouraged to find careers and professions, but they're encouraged to just get a job, you know, you know, and or to play sports and not to develop themselves and their intelligence.
Right.
So they're frustrated, and of course they're angry. And then of course we know that the justice system is not always just, and so there's a little of that that they're also facing.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I just want to hold them up and hold them in my arms and hold them in my hands and say, come on, you can do this, you know.
Yeah.
And even though the world is not fair, you still have to be responsible for how you interact with it, because that is your cause and effect.
Right.
You know,
right.
These are hard lessons, but someone's got to help them understand them so that they can make better choices in their life.
That's so beautiful. Oh, Yoga for Youth. And you can find out more information about that. I believe it's yogaforyouth.org. Is that correct?
Yogaforyouth.org, yes.
Yeah.
We have several trainings coming up. And, yeah.
Beautiful. And then also people could find you not only there, but also on krishnakar.org. Is it org as well?
Yes, it's krishnakar.org. That's
okay.
Correct.
Beautiful.
KRISHNAKAUR.
Beautiful. So everyone is encouraged to visit the sites, you know, 3ho.org as well, and just embrace whatever is being called. embrace your calling. Yeah.
Do a little searching and find something for yourself.
Beautiful.
That you can use to honor yourself and do it every day. Until you experience some shift in yourself.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Let's close out the show. Now it is, you know, I have my little traditions and my customs here. And I always end the show with what I call a blessing, which is a sunshine song, but in spoken word. But because you're here and because you're just so incredible, would you do us the honor of closing out the show with the... you know, either spoken or whatever flow you feel is right?
I'd love to, Chrissy. It's a prayer. It says, to everyone everywhere listening, and to those who are just near those listening or in their lives in any way, the prayer is that may the long time sun shine upon you. All love surround you and the pure light within you guide your way on today and forever.
Satnam. Thank you so much for tuning in. Bye, loves. We'll see you next week. Mwah. Take care.
Love yourself. 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 Love each other,
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 each other.
We are one,
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 we are one.
We are
the divine,
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 the divine.
Blessings,
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 blessings.
The Master's
Playground.